Spoštovane poslanke in poslanci, predstavniki vlade, ekscelence, gospe in gospodje. Veseli me, da lahko med nami pozdravim generalnega sekretarja Atlantskega zavezništva, gospoda Jensa Stoltenberga, z delegacijo. Gospod Stoltenberg, dobrodošli v državnem zboru. Tudi sami imate bogate parlamentarne izkušnje in verjamem, da delimo zavedanje o pomenu zakonodajne veje oblasti oziroma o vlogi parlamentov pri odločanju o smernicah zunanje in varnostne politike. Zato bomo še s posebnim velikim zanimanjem prisluhnili vašemu nagovoru. Republika Slovenija bo prihodnje leto zaznamovala 15. obletnico vstopa v Zvezo NATO. Vključitev v zavezništvo je bila posledica jasno izražene volje na referendumu in odločenosti naše države, da deli njegove vrednote. Spoštovanje demokratičnih načel in človekovih pravic ter idealov, osebne svobode in vladavine prava. Danes sicer živimo v obdobju kompleksnih mednarodnih izzivov, ki terjajo večplastne odgovore in usklajeno delovanje. Morda smo v prednosti, ki nam jih nudi tudi ta integracija, pozabili na razloge za njen nastanek in na njen temeljni namen. To je ohranjanje mednarodnega miru in varnosti. Mir in varnost kot predpogoj za nemoten razvoj vsake države namreč nista samoumevna in zanjo si je sodelovanje z ostalimi partnerji potrebno prizadevati in k njim tudi prispevati. V slovenskem političnem prostoru sicer nimamo vse politične stranke enakih pogledov na vlogo in pomen Atlantskega zavezništva, o čemer predstavniki izmenjujemo mnenja in stališča v odkritem in odprtem dialogu. Toda usmeritev Republike Slovenije je jasna. Smo kredibilna, zanesljiva, odgovorna in solidarna zaveznica. V deklaraciji zunanje politike Republike Slovenije smo jasno zapisali, da NATO skupaj z drugimi mehanizmi kolektivne varnosti v Evropi in svetu obstaja naš temeljni varnostni okvir. Slovenija se tudi zaradi lastnih izkušenj zaveda, da je euroatlantska perspektiva držav Zahodnega Balkana nujna za tiste, ki si je želijo, in za nas, ki smo dolžni prenašati na prihodnje rodove mir, blagostanje in napredek. Zato ves čas vztrajno in odločno zagovarjamo jasno in nedvomno potrebo po širitvi zavezništva za vse tiste države regije, ki stremijo k integraciji, ki svojo prihodnost vidijo v tem okviru in ki so na poti k polnopravnemu članstvu pripravljene sprejeti in implementirati vse tiste reforme, ki bodo omogočile doseganje integracijskih ciljev za polnopravno članstvo v NATO oziroma EU. Spoštovane poslanke in poslanci, dragi gostje, vabim vas, da prisluhnete nagovoru generalnega sekretarja Zveze NATO, gospoda Jensa Stoltenberga. Spoštovani gospod Stoltenberg, govornica je vaša.
So President of the National Assembly, members of Parliament, members of the Diplomatic Corps, first of all, I'm really honored to be here, and let me start by saying dobar dan. I appreciate to be here for many reasons. Slovenia is a highly valued member of our alliance, but I also have to tell you that I have fond memories of my visits to Ljubljana when I was a child in the 1960s and the 1970s, because my family used to live in the former, also in former Yugoslavia, and then we traveled around here many, many times, and I came to Ljubljana many times, and I have very fond memories from Ljubljana. So therefore, it's always a great pleasure and honor to be back here. We are grateful for the contributions Slovenia is making to NATO and to our shared security. You contribute to the alliance in many different ways. You are part of our mission in Afghanistan, making sure that Afghanistan never again becomes a safe haven for international terrorists. And actually, earlier today, I saw your special operation forces in an exercise or in a display, and I saw the quality and I saw the professionalism of your special operation forces, some of which have served in Afghanistan. You are also present in Kosovo, in KFOR, helping to make sure that we keep a safe and secure environment in Kosovo. I would also like to thank you for your contributions to our enhanced forward presence in the Baltic countries. You have been part of the NATO battle group in Latvia. And I know that you also in a few days will participate in the biggest exercise, the biggest NATO exercise in many years, the Trident Juncture in Norway, with important capabilities from the Slovenian Defence or Armed Forces. I would also like to mention that last time I went to Skopje, I met the head of the NATO mission in Skopje, who is from Slovenia, and it also highlights how you are focused on and playing a key role in addressing the challenges we see in southeast of Europe and addressing the challenges we see and the partnership we have with Skopje. I say all of this because it is important that we understand the strength of NATO. And the strength of NATO is that we are an alliance of 29 democracies where we stand together and protect each other. And NATO is the most successful alliance in history because we have been able to stand together, we have been able to be united, and we have been able to change and adapt when the world is changing. And now, once again, we need to show that in an unpredictable and more unsecure world, security environment, we need to once again prove that we are able to stand together and able to adapt. Because our security environment is changing, therefore NATO has to change. Let me just briefly remind you of the fact that for 40 years, NATO actually did only one thing, and that was to provide collective defence deterrence in Europe against the Soviet Union. And then the Soviet Union was dissolved, the Warsaw Pact disappeared, and people started to ask whether we needed NATO anymore, because the main reason why we existed, the Soviet Union and the Warsaw Pact, stopped or ceased to exist. And it was stated that either NATO has to go out of area, so meaning out of the NATO territory, or NATO had to go out of business. And while we were discussing that, NATO decided to go out of area. And you have to remember, or I think we all have to remember, that the first time NATO went beyond our own borders, the first time NATO engaged in any military operations, wars in the Balkans, helping to end wars in southeast of Europe. NATO forces, NATO operations, NATO missions were key to ending the war in Bosnia-Herzegovina. We played a key role in stopping the actions of the Milosevic regime with our air campaign in Serbia and Kosovo. And we also had troops in the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia to help to prevent armed conflict in that part of this region. So in the 90s and the beginning of the 2000s, we actually played an essential role in stabilizing, ending conflicts in this part of the region of Europe. We made also progress by not only helping to stabilize and to end conflicts, but also through the fact that NATO was enlarged. New members joined the alliance. And Slovenia joined, Croatia joined, Albania joined, and now last year Montenegro joined as the 29th member of the alliance. And the enlargement of NATO has been a great success because it has contributed to peace, stability and democracy in Europe, and by providing stability, security, the enlargement of NATO has also been important for prosperity and economic growth. Because peace, stability and security is essential if we want investments, growth and economic development. We also went beyond our borders, not only into the Western Balkans or southeast of Europe, but we went beyond our borders also to fight terrorism. Afghanistan, that was a direct response to the 9/11 terrorist attacks on the United States. And we have been there since to prevent Afghanistan from becoming a safe haven for international terrorists once again. We are in Afghanistan to protect ourselves. Because if we allow countries to become safe havens for international terrorists, where they can train, plan and launch attacks against us, then we are more insecure. That's also the reason why we are part of the global coalition to defeat ISIS, and why we welcome the enormous progress we have made. Because we have to remember that back in 2014-15, ISIS was able to control big parts of Syria and Iraq, actually threatening Baghdad, and they controlled the territory bigger or in the size, same size of the United Kingdom, and they controlled a population of about 8 million people. So that was a real threat. And then NATO allies in the US-led coalition to defeat ISIS have made a lot of progress and at least denied ISIS control of territory. The fight against ISIS is not over, but we have made enormous progress by achieving the military progress on the ground, which we have seen in Syria and Iraq. So for many years, NATO was less focused on collective defence in Europe and more focused on crisis management beyond our borders, in the Balkans, in Afghanistan, in the Middle East, Iraq, and in fighting piracy off the Horn of Africa. But now NATO has to adapt, because what we see now is that we not only see the turmoil and the violence in our southern neighbourhood, but we also see a more assertive Russia being responsible for using military force against neighbours in Georgia in 2008 and in Ukraine in 2014. And therefore NATO is adapting once again. And we have over the last years, since 2014, implemented the biggest adaptation of our alliance since the end of the Cold War, with higher readiness of our forces, with for the first time to deploy NATO forces in the eastern part of the alliance, in the Baltic countries and Poland. And we have tripled the size of the NATO response force. We have established what we call a very high readiness joint task force. So not only have we increased the military presence, but we have also enabled or increased our ability to reinforce quickly if needed. Because the strength of NATO is that we are able to deter any adversary, sending a clear message that if one ally is attacked, then the whole alliance will be there. And the reason why that is important is not because we want to provoke conflict, but we strongly believe that deterrence, a strong and credible defense, is the best way to prevent conflict. And that's the success of NATO. We have had 70 years, or more than 70 years of peace in the part of Europe which NATO has been responsible for. And it's hard to find any historic period in the history of Europe with such a long period of peace and stability. And that's very much because of the security guarantees and the strength of the alliance that we protect each other. So NATO is adapting, and Slovenia is part of that. But to adapt to this more demanding security environment, with the more assertive Russia, with the instability to the south, fight terrorism, but also address new challenges like cyber threats, we need to invest more in defence. And therefore NATO allies agreed in 2014 to what we call the Defense Investment Pledge, and that is a pledge to stop the cuts, start to increase, and then move towards spending 2% of GDP within a decade, meaning by 2024. The good news is that after years of cutting defense spending across Europe and Canada, all allies have started to increase. More allies meet the 2% target. When we made the pledge in 2014, only three allies spent 2% of GDP, gross domestic product, on defense. This year, we expect eight allies to spend 2% of GDP on defense. And the majority of NATO allies have put forward plans to reach 2% by 2024. But we still, so that's good news. We are making progress. We have made a significant shift. But we still have a long way to go, because we know that some countries are far away from 2%. And Slovenia is among those. And you are aware of that, spending just above 1%. And therefore, I urge you to invest more. It is in your interests. It is in the interest of us to invest more in our security, because we live in a more unpredictable demanding security environment. I have been a politician myself for many years. I've been a member of parliament since 1990, prime minister for 10 years, and I know that it's hard to spend money on defence, because most politicians, they prefer to invest in education, in infrastructure, in health, not investing in defence. And if there's going to be more money for defence, it's less money for something else. That's the brutal reality. So therefore, most voters and most politicians, they prefer to speak about spending more on education, health, infrastructure, or cutting taxes, because that makes them popular. Perhaps not in Slovenia, but at least in most other countries. But sometimes political leaders have to tell what is necessary. And now it's necessary to invest more in defence. And I have told many politicians that back in the 1990s, I was Minister of Finance in Norway. And I was responsible for cutting defence budgets. I know exactly how to do it. I'm very good at that, actually. But if we are cutting defence spending when tensions are going down, as they did in the 1990s, because in the 1990s, that was the end of the Cold War, the Soviet Union was dissolved, the Warsaw Pact didn't exist anymore, and we made a closer and closer cooperation, or we achieved a closer and closer relationship with Russia. So then it was responsible to reduce defence spending. But now tensions are going up. So if we are able to cut defence spending when tensions are going down, we have to be able to reduce tensions, invest more in defence when tensions are going up. And again, I understand it's not easy, but it is not fair that some allies invest 2% and more to protect the other allies. We are together in this, so we are protecting each other. And since I'm coming from a small country, I also know that some small countries, they think that they can hide behind the big ones. That's not possible. We have good statistics, and everyone can read. So therefore, the brutal reality is that there is a need to do more. And I welcome the fact that Slovenia has announced that Slovenia has stopped the cuts, and that Slovenia has started to increase, and that you have started to move in the right direction, and that you have made clear that you will do more. So you have a good start. But I hope and urge you to do even more in the coming years. Slovenia is also important because of your geographic location. You have knowledge, you have understanding of the challenges we face in countries like Bosnia-Herzegovina, Kosovo, also the challenges related to the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia. And just to share with you some reflections on the challenges we face, I would like to tell you that I visited Skopje a couple of weeks ago, earlier in September, and I told them that we welcome the name agreement with Greece. And I believe that the name agreement with Greece is an historic opportunity, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, for the country to join NATO. That's good for them, it's good for the region, and it's good for NATO. They had a referendum. More than 90% voted yes. But as we all know, the turnout was too low. Now it is for the parliament and the government in Skopje to decide the next steps. That's for them to decide, not for me to decide or NATO to decide. But what I can tell them is that if they implement the name agreement with Greece and changing the name into the Republic of Northern Macedonia, which is part of the deal, then we are ready to sign the accession protocol. We have already started the accession negotiations, signed the accession protocol, and they can be member ready soon. But there is no other way. There is no other way to join the alliance. We need an agreement on the name issue. We saw the outcome of the elections in Bosnia-Herzegovina. Bosnia-Herzegovina is a partner of NATO. We are working with them, supporting them in their ambitions for Euro-Atlantic integration. And we are also considering when we are ready to activate what we call the membership action plan for Bosnia-Herzegovina to move closer to NATO membership. In Kosovo, we are following the situation very closely. We have the presence of the NATO forces there, and I think they play an important role in Kosovo, helping to keep a safe and secure environment. I have promised to have some time for some questions, so I will not address all issues in my introduction, but they're ready to answer some questions at the end. The last thing I will say is that I know the importance of parliaments in shaping defence and security policies. As I told you, I've been a member of parliament for many years myself. Parliaments are important because you are the basis for governments and you provide the guidelines, the framework for any government in conducting foreign and security, defence and security policy. And, of course, you make the important and vital decisions on budgets. So I meet mostly the government and the ministers, but I know that at the end of the day, the parliament decides. The parliament decides what kind of government, what kind of policies, and what kind of budgets. So therefore, I'm extremely grateful that I had this opportunity to meet with you all today to say some words about NATO and how NATO is responding to a more challenging security environment, because I know that you, as individual members of the Parliament, are actually those who make decisions in a democratic society as Slovenia. Thank you so much.
Spoštovani generalni sekretar, najlepša hvala. Spoštovani generalni sekretar, najlepša hvala za podane misli. Zavedamo se, da so ne le varnost naše države, temveč tudi stabilnost regije in kredibilnost zavezništva odvisna tudi od naših ravnanj, ki pa je kot majhna odgovorna država, katerim želimo prispevati v različnih oblikah. Spoštovane gospe in spoštovani gospodje, gospod generalni sekretar se je strinjal, da v okviru današnjega obiska in glede na razpoložljivi čas odgovori tudi na dve vprašanje. Zastavili ju bosta predstavnika največje koalicijske oziroma največje opozicijske poslanske skupine. Glede na čas, ki ga imamo na razpolago, predlagam, da sta najprej postavljeni obe vprašanji, na to pa odgovor na njo. Glede na velikost poslanskih skupin, k besedi najprej vabim magistra Branka Grimsa v imenu poslanske skupine Slovenske demokratske stranke. Izvolite, gospod Grims.
Hvala za besedo, spoštovani gospod generalni sekretar, spoštovane ekscelence, vsem zbranim prav lep pozdrav in hvala za priložnost, da v imenu Slovenske demokratske stranke zastavim vprašanje. Danes se Evropa sooča s povsem drugačnimi varnostnimi izzivi, kot smo si jih pred 15 leti, ko smo stopali v zvezo NATO, sploh lahko predstavljali. Danes se več ljudi dojema masovne migracije, s tem povezan terorizem in pa islamizacijo, kot večjo nevarnost, kot so vojaške moči drugih držav. V teh razmerah je seveda še toliko bolj pomembno, da NATO ohranja in dosega soglasje kot svoj temelj in enotnost. In da seveda upošteva, da ostaja Rusija v teh odnosih posebna sila, s katero je potrebno pač vzpostavljati odnose po najboljših močeh, da se ohranja varnost in ravnotežje za celotno Evropo. To je seveda mogoče samo na osnovi soglasja in pa enotnosti. To, da pri tem prihaja žal velikokrat do kršitev posameznih držav in zato postavljamo vprašanje. Kako generalni sekretar Zveze NATO ocenjuje trenutno aktualno stanje na področju odnosov med Zvezo NATO in Rusijo in kako ocenjuje ravnanje tistih članic Zveze NATO, ki ne spoštujejo skupaj dogovorjenih politik Zveze NATO do Rusije, ter kakšne varnostne in politične posledice za tisto državo in zvezo kot celoto imajo lahko kršitve skupaj sprejetih ukrepov, standardov in soglasno sprejetih politik Zveze NATO strani posameznih članic Zveze do Rusije.
Hvala, gospod Grims, za vašo prvo vprašanje. Drugo vprašanje bo zastavil predstavnik največje koalicijske poslanske skupine, dr. Dari Krajčič. Poslanska skupina Liste Marjana Šarca. Izvolite, dr. Krajčič.
Hvala lepa, spoštovani predsednik, za besedo. Spoštovane kolegice, kolegi, člani vlade, državni sekretarji, spoštovani gospod generalni sekretar, vabljeni. Za nas je zelo pomembno, da je okrog nas varna situacija. In eden od pomembnih igralcev v tej igri varnosti je tudi Makedonija. Nedolgo tega je naš državni zbor obiskal Makedonijo, najvišji vrh, torej predsednik z delegacijo in izrazil pri tem tudi podporo makedonskemu političnemu vodstvu pri referendumu. Torej izrazil je podporo tako na strani vlade, njihovega parlamenta. Sestali smo se tudi z opozicijsko stranko. Vemo, da je predstavnik NATO v Makedoniji Slovenec. Slučajno se piše Zoran Janković, ampak ne ljubljanski župan. No, tudi pred njim je bil Slovenec predstavnik NATO dol in vemo, da Slovenci opravljajo to nalogo tam izjemno uspešno in dobro. So priznani. Zdaj v okviru vloge Makedonije je zelo pomembna tudi kot obramba pred migracijskimi tokovi. Slovenija ji dol pomaga tudi z močnim policijskim kontingentom. Zanima nas, zanima me torej, kako ocenjuje NATO vlogo Makedonije v bodoče, kakšne so njene perspektive glede na to, da referendum ni uspel in ali je bilo zaznati pri tem tudi kakšne kibernetske zgodbe, tako pri organizaciji tega referenduma in tudi ali se ta kibernetska zgodba ponavlja sicer v okviru prizadevanj Makedonije za članstvo v NATO. Hvala lepa.
Hvala, dr. Krajčič, za vaše vprašanje. Gospod Stoltenberg, prosim.
First on the question of on Russia. NATO has what we call a dual track approach to Russia. Deterrence, defense combined with dialogue. We need to be firm and predictable in our approach to Russia, especially since we, over the last years, have seen a more assertive Russia, a Russia which has invested heavily in new military capabilities, in the full spectrum of capabilities, including new nuclear forces. And we also see that they are exercising the full spectrum of their capabilities in larger and larger military exercises. And we see not only that they have invested in new military capabilities, but also and exercised new military capabilities, but we see also that they have been willing to use military force against neighbors, Georgia and Ukraine. And on top of that, we also are deeply concerned about the fact that Russia is developing a new missile, which we believe the most plausible explanation is that they actually are violating the INF Treaty, the treaty that prohibits all intermediate nuclear forces in Europe. And this treaty is extremely important, and it's now undermined by the behavior of Russia. And we've also seen that not only do they develop military capabilities, but they also use what we call hybrid tactics. We saw the Skripal case with a nerve agent used in the United Kingdom. And we have seen the failed coup attempt in Montenegro. And we recently, last week, we actually saw, I think you can just go on the internet, you can just look at the pictures. It was very clearly exposed how Russia is trying to undermine important international institutions like the OPCW, the Organization for Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, which played a key role in assessing the Skripal case, but also the use of chemical weapons in Syria. They have tried to interfere or meddle with WADA and also the institution that works or addressed or investigated into the MH17 downing the plane over Ukraine some years ago. So we have seen attempts to meddle in democratic processes, undermining political institutions. We have seen attacks against critical infrastructure. So we see all of this from Russia. This is of great concern. So therefore, NATO, as I said, has responded with high readiness of our forces, strengthening our cyber defences, investing more in defence, deployment of our forces, to send a clear message to any potential adversary that we are there to protect and defend all allies, and we will never accept anything similar to what happened in Ukraine against a NATO ally. That's important for allies to know. I come from a country bordering Russia, and of course, we totally depend on the security guarantees of NATO. Having said that, I also believe in dialogue with Russia, and NATO believes in dialogue with Russia, because Russia is there to stay. Russia is our biggest neighbor, and for me, there is no contradiction between a strong, predictable approach to Russia, and to at the same time work for a better relationship with Russia through political dialogue. Russia will not disappear. Russia will be there. And therefore, also very much based on my own experience from Norway, it's absolutely possible to reach out to work for improved relationships as long as Russia don't misunderstand or misperceived us as a kind of sign of weakness. So I know that when in Norway we were able to develop a good working relationship with Russia, even or the Soviet Union, even during the coldest period of the Cold War, not despite NATO, but because of NATO. Because NATO provided the strength, the platform, to be able to engage in a political dialogue with Russia. And I think that in NATO it's the right approach that we do the same. Partly to try to get a better relationship with Russia, to make them abide by the international arms control agreements, to make them stop interfering in domestic political processes in different NATO allied countries or undermining international institutions. But even without an improved relationship with Russia, I think it is important that we have dialogue with Russia because we need to manage a difficult relationship.
with more military presence, with more exercises, we need to avoid miscalculations, misunderstandings that can create really dangerous situations. So our approach to Russia is this combination of defense and dialogue, believing that's the only way to improve the relationship. And as long as we're not able to improve the relationship, we need to handle a difficult relationship, and also that requires a dialogue. Then on Fyrom, and actually both of you mentioned also the question of Fyrom. Also Fyrom is very close to become a member of NATO. But to become a member of NATO, they need to agree the name deal. And that's not for me to decide, that's for them to decide. You know that they need a two-third majority in the parliament to change the constitution. They announced that they will ask for such a vote. If they have the majority, well, then they have overcome the most important obstacle in implementing the name deal. If they don't get the two-third majority, then my understanding, based on what they have announced, is that they will considered to have a new election. But again, this is for them to decide, them, also the political authorities of Skopje, to decide and to announce. We can only speak or tell them what NATO will do, and we will then invite them and sign the accession protocol when the name agreement is fully implemented. Regardless of that, we of course welcome the partnership with Fyrom, and that's also a partnership which is important not only for the country but for the whole region. I think actually now I need to end, because I have been here, I think, longer than the protocol told me to be, and it's important to respect protocol. So I thank you so much once again for allowing me to meet with the Parliament, and I thank you for the strong contribution of Slovenia to our alliance. Thank you so much, and all the best. Thank you.